The following is a class on the Bhagavad Gita as it is, chapter number 6, text number 26, given by His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Dasadhikari, recorded on April 22, 2008, in Helsinki, Finland.
So tonight we are reading from Srimad Bhagavad Gita, chapter number 6, text number 26. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 Om Namo Bhagavate
Yato yato nischalati,
yato yato nischalati,
manas chanchalam astiram,
manas chanchalam astiram,
tatas tato nayam yaitad,
tatas tato nayam yaitad,
atman yeva vashang nayet,
atman yeva vashang nayet.
Translation in purport by that most glorious of all spiritual masters, His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta T. Dandi Goswami Maharaj Prabhupada. From wherever the mind wanders, due to its flickering and unsteady nature, one must certainly withdraw it and bring it back under the control of the self. Purport. The nature of the mind is flickering and unsteady. But a self-realized yogi has to control the mind. The mind should not control him. One who controls the mind, and therefore the senses as well, is called Goswami or Swami. And one who is controlled by the mind is called Godas or the servant of the senses. A Goswami knows the standard of sense happiness. In transcendental sense happiness, the senses are engaged in the service of Rishikesha or the supreme owner of the senses, Krishna. Serving Krishna with purified senses is called Krishna consciousness. That is the way of bringing the senses under full control. What is more, that is the highest perfection of yoga practice. Om Jnana Timurandasya Ganam Jana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manovishtam Shtapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupakadhamayam Dadati Svapodam Jikam. So, we are not against sense happiness. We are into proper sense happiness. In other words, the senses want to be enlightened. That's the thing. So, you can let them get their enlightenment according to their own attraction, or you can let them get their enlightenment according to your direction. Which do you prefer? In the material life, we are accustomed to letting the senses have their way and getting their satisfaction according to their way. But that isn't a very good system, because it doesn't work in the long run. It appears, in the short run, to give very nice results. Happiness in the mode of passion is nectar in the beginning, and it's poison in the end. It's like a little child. If you ask him, "My dear little boy, now it's time for you to stop playing and go to school," will he agree? "Oh yes, mommy, now I will go to school. I'm very happy to go to school every day." No. He wants to run and play, that's all. He doesn't want to go to school. Even Srila Prabhupada, they had to force him to go to school when he was a little boy. course, it is all pastimes, pure devotee. But the point is that the little child does not want to go to school, but the parents have to force him to go to school. That is the difference between Shreya and Preya. Preya means that which is immediately enjoyable. For a little child, there's nothing more enjoyable than running and playing. That is the fun thing. Preya. Run and play. But in the long run, Shreya, going to school and getting education, means in the future, he will be better situated. He will be much happier if he is well educated. Because then he can make some money, he can maintain nicely his wife and children, etc., etc. Be an upstanding, respectable member of the community. If he simply runs and plays, he'll become like a madman. They will have to put him in a mental institution. He'll have no respect in the society. He won't be able to maintain a wife and children. So in this way, he's much happier if he goes to school, you see, than if he just runs and plays. So in the same way, the senses just want to run and play. That's all they want to do. They don't want to be disciplined. But if you say, my dear senses, I know you want to be happy, but kindly, you simply engage yourself in the devotional service of the divine son of Nanda Maharaj. Bajahu Reimana Shri Nanda Nandana Abhaya Charanara Vindare. My dear mind, I know you want to run and play, but try to understand that you'll be much happier if you run after the supreme runner and player, the son of Nanda Maharaj, Sri Krishna. Simply absorb yourself, my dear mind, in Krishna. And then you will derive unlimited happiness. So this is the secret of success. If you can deny yourself a little instant gratification and be a little patient to get the eventual gratification, you will be gratified millions and billions of times beyond any gratification you can get in this world. Just like in this world, what is the number one pleasure? Yan maitanadi grihamedi sukham itucham. The sex pleasure is number one. Indeed, as confirmed by Freud, and Prabhupada said he was right, that this whole material world runs on this principle of sex pleasure. So, Bhagavatam rightly points out that that pleasure, which is considered number one, maitan adi, that maitan is, at maitun, it is adi, number one. Maitinadi grihamedi, for the grihamedi, the materialistic people. It is their happiness. Yan maitinadi grihamedi sukham. But Bhagavatam says, indeed, he, tucham, insignificant. So, I can give you, as I've many times given the example, I can give you 1,000 euros. You'll be very happy. Oh, I've got 1,000 euros. And I say, now you give that back. You go, oh, disappointment. You say, I thought he was giving it to me for keeps, not that he was only lending me 1,000 euros. But if I say now, you give me that 1,000 euros, I give you 1,000,000 euros, you see. Will you have any difficulty giving up the 1,000 euros? If I give you 1,000,000 euros, take it, but do you have any problem with that? No. Of course, yes, take it. Yeah. Give me the million, sure. So, 1,000 euros is certainly contained within 1,000,000 euros. So that means whatever pleasure you got from illicit sex, meat eating, intoxication, and gambling, you're not going to lose that pleasure, actually. But you're going to get it amplified millions and billions of times. That's called intelligence, you see. A devotee is not a fool. A devotee means highly intelligent person. He's not a brainwashed zombie like people tend to stereotype us, you see, a bunch of brainwashed zombies. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, you see. No, we are actually realized in transcendental knowledge by the grace of Srila Prabhupada and in our spiritual masters. We are actually realized in transcendental knowledge. We are getting a higher taste. Vishaya vinivartante nirahara shidehino rasa varsham rishopyasya pradam vishvani varitate. The embodied soul may be restricted from sense enjoyment, though the taste for sense object remains, but ceasing such engagements by experiencing a higher taste, he is fixed in consciousness. Yeah. He is fixed in consciousness. So, the challenge for the neophyte, what is the greatest challenge for the neophyte devotee? Do you know what is the greatest challenge for the neophyte devotee? To actually get that higher taste. Because until you get that higher taste, your Krishna consciousness is theoretical. It looks good on paper, but is it? We really have to get that higher taste. Because once you get that higher taste, then you become nishtha. You become solidly fixed, you see. Immovable. You become achara. Fixed, solidly fixed, you see. Once you get that higher taste, then Mayadevi can offer you everything. Illicit sex, meat eating, intoxication, and gambling. She can offer you so many allurements. It's like in the Bible, Lord Jesus was fasting in the wilderness, and Satan came and tempted him with all the worldly pleasures. Did he go for it? No. He said, "Get thee behind me, Satan. Get lost. I don't need you here." So the devotee, you see, even if he's offered all material allurements, he says, get out of here. I don't need you. Or, if he's very advanced, like Haridas Thakura, say, "Oh yes, you stay here, I will gladly accept your offer. Just let me finish my chant." And he turned the prostitute into a devotee. That's a very, very advanced position. The high level devotee, he can do that. He can play games with Maya. Engage Maya in Krishna service. That's a highly advanced Krishna. So, getting this higher taste is really what we have to focus on right now at this stage in our, you know, our neophyte stage. We have to focus on getting this higher taste. Because that will keep us safe in the boat. You see. If you don't have the higher taste, then they'd be saying, "Man overboard," you see. Bloop. How many people have come to this movement and left? I hate to even look at the statistics. I've been here for 37 years. I've been here, and I've seen him come and I've seen him go, just like a bus station, you know, coming and going. How many actually stay in this movement? I can tell you what enables people to stay. Those people who actually get the higher taste, they stay, and those who don't, they eventually leave. So if you can understand it's to your benefit to remain here in the Krishna consciousness movement, then I would humbly point out to you that you really have to strive to truly experience this higher taste known as Krishna consciousness. You really do. Because that's your insurance. That's your guarantee that you will never leave. So how to get that higher taste? How do we get it? Well, the good news is we don't have to speculate. The Bhagavatam tells us exactly how to get the higher taste. Srushu shro shudabhanash vasudeva katavuchi yammahat sevayave papunya sevana kirtana. By serving those devotees who are completely free from all vice. In other words, they have no ulterior motives, they're just doing bhakti for the sake of pleasing Guru and Krishna. They're not using it for the sake of wealth, women and followers. Those, by serving those devotees who are completely free from all vice, Bhagavatam says great service is done. By such service, one gains an affinity for what? Hearing the messages of Vasudeva Krishna. Vasudeva Katha Ruchi. What we are after to become solid is Ruchi. We need Ruchi. Taste. So Bhagavatam tells us exactly what to do to get Ruchi. All you have to do is look for those devotees who are completely pure in their heart. You have no ulterior motive to rendering devotional service. All we have to do is serve them. It's very simple. Very simple. And what will be the result when you serve such devotees? The result is their quality of taste, you become infected with it. If you eat the remnants of someone who has tuberculosis, you will get tuberculosis. And if you eat the remnants of a pure devotee, then you'll become a pure devotee. You can say, oh, come on, it couldn't be that easy. But have you not read the first canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam? Have you not read of our Narad Muni? You know who Narad Muni was in his previous life? He was a pop singer, like John Lennon. He was a pop singer in the heavenly planet. He was such a cool pop singer. He had all the girls, you know, hanging around him as he was singing pop songs about sense enjoyment. He was a bigger pop singer than, you know, the Beatles, actually. He was a huge pop singer. It's described in the Bhagavatam. You've read in the heavenly planets he was a pop singer. So, of course, the word pop has a double meaning. In English, it means popular. In Sanskrit, it means sin. So. He was definitely a pop singer. Papi. So the papi became a papi. He became free of sin. You see how? In his next birth, he took birth as the son of a maidservant. Somehow the father was not there. It was just he and his mother. A little boy and a mother, and that was all there was. But then the mother was bitten by a snake. But before that, he had the good fortune. The sages. In India, there is a tradition. During the Chaturmasya, the rainy season, the sages, who are regularly traveling and preaching everywhere, you see, they take a break from traveling and preaching. Sometimes it is recommended that our ISKCON traveling and preaching devotees should also take a break from preaching. That this will be better for their health if they don't constantly travel and preach. They take some time to stay in one place. Sometimes it is recommended. These sages, they would do that. They would take out 4 months every year during the rainy season to stay in one place. So, during their hiatus, their break, they were staying in the forest just nearby the residence of the little boy who became Narad Muni. And the little boy, he would go, being attracted by this assembly of sages in the forest, he would go there. And what would he do? He would take the remnants of their food. He said, with permission or without permission, he would take the remnants of their food. In that way, simply by getting the Maha Maha Prasad of the Bhaktivedanta, he became the great Narad Muni. His mother actually died from snake bite. Instead of looking for someone else to adopt him, he took sannyas. A little boy. Just imagine if this little boy here, you see, if he took sannyas. He went wandering across the world as a sannyasi. That's the amazing thing. That a little child, just like this little boy, just imagine taking sannyas as a little tiny boy and going off wandering the world. You see, that's the amazing thing that happens just by getting the maha maha. Of course, I don't want to scare his mother away from letting him have maha maha now by telling him. But this is the great potency of the association with those who are completely free from all vice. That if we take, whether we take the remembrance of their food and we render them service in various ways, even if we can sit nicely and hear from such great transcendentalists, that is also a form of serving. Because the great transcendentalists take great pleasure in what activity? Krishna Katha, you see. And if we agree to hear with enthusiasm from such great transcendentalists, that is also a service. Because the more that there are hearers, the more that they become enlivened to speak to us and enliven us in Krishna consciousness. Machchita mangata prana bodhiyanta parasparam katayantascha mam nityam tashyanti cha brahmanti cha. The thoughts of my pure devotees dwell in me. Their lives are surrendered unto me, and they derive great satisfaction and bliss by enlightening one another and conversing about me. So actually there's nothing more relishable than this Krishna Katha. You see, Vasudeva Katha. There's nothing more sweet, nothing more sublime, nothing more energizing. And this is, for example, we see our devotees who distribute the books, how do they become intoxicated with this activity? Why? Because it is Krishna Katha. It is engaging in the topics of the Lord, hearing and chanting. Actually, it is the most powerful type of chanting, book distribution, distributing this Krishna Katha. So this activity of Krishna Katha, it completely thrills and enlivens the living being, and he gets the higher taste. So if you're wondering now, how can I go deeper and deeper into this sweet, sublime, ecstatic, delicious experience known as Krishna consciousness, then just try to see that you become very eager to hear whenever the glories of Krishna are being spoken by great transcendentalists. And even ordinary transcendentalists who are also struggling to achieve perfection. If we can hear it from anyone who is sincerely and seriously repeating the words of the great acharyas, that hearing will liberate us. Mahajano yena gata sasanta. One should follow in the pathway tread by the previous acharyas. Who are those acharyas? Do we have to speculate? No. Everything is clearly laid out in the Vedas. You see. The Vedic wisdom clearly gives exactly everything. Just like if you want to bake a cake, do you have to speculate? What should I put in the cake? No. You simply get the cookbook, and the cookbook says, but this quantity, this much flour, this much sugar, this much butter, this much salt, this much milk, you see, this much baking powder. You put it at this temperature and this size of pan for this amount of time, it gives you every little detail. And if you follow the recipe, you're going to get a wonderful cake. If you don't follow the recipe, bloop, you'll have some goo at the bottom of the pan. You see. Useless goo. Have you ever seen it happen? Whoop, I missed something in the recipe. So the Vedas are the perfect cookbook of how to cook up bhakti, pure bhakti within your heart. If you simply follow the recipe and you carefully follow the recipe, you know, then you haven't made it. You'll achieve pure bhakti, guaranteed. I don't care who you are, I don't care how fallen you are, I don't care how stupid you are, I don't care what bad qualities you may have, doesn't matter. the Bhagavatam, the Vedic wisdom, is universal wisdom. It'll save anybody, even the most fallen persons. Namam duskritino mudha prapadyante naradama mayaya paritta jnana ahasuram bhavam ashrita. Even the lowest among them, you see, Naradama, even the miscreants, the mudhas, the grossly foolish, even the mayaya paritta jnanas, those who have so-called material education, who have simply become highly educated fools. And even the out-and-out demons, who just have that nature, asuram bhav, the nature of demon, you see. I don't care who you are, if you will carefully take up this process of Krishna consciousness, you will experience divine ecstasy beyond any pleasure of this world and exceeds anything in this world by millions and billions of times. So we don't have to speculate, it's all there. The Vedas tell us precisely who are these Mahajanas. Svayambhur Nadadashambhu Kamara Kapilo Manu Pralado Janako Bhishmo Balir Vayasakirvyam. They are clearly listed. Lord Brahma, Narada Muni, Lord Shiva, four Kumaras, Kapiladev, Svayambhuva Manu, Palad Maharaj, Janak Maharaj, Riyamdrada Bhishma, Bali Maharaj, Shukadev Goswami, and Yamaraj. These 12 great Mahajanas, they are the great guiding lights for the Vedic civilization. You see, the Vedic civilization was guided by these 12 great Mahajanas. And if we will follow in the footsteps, if we will follow the guidelines of these great Mahajanas, then we are guaranteed to come out of the darkness of ignorance and achieve complete pure bhakti. Totally complete, perfect bhakti. Doesn't matter if we're brahmacharis living in the ashram, or if we're householders living in our home. You see. Doesn't matter if I'm doctor, if I'm lawyer, if I'm prime minister, anyone, businessman, garbage collector. Doesn't matter who you are or what you are, if you will apply these principles in your life, you will achieve the topmost perfection. We guarantee it. You will achieve it. All you have to do is adjust your consciousness. All you have to do. Yat karoshi yadasnasi yajdahosi dadasi yat yat tapaschashi kaunteya tat karishva madarpana. Whatever you do, whatever you eat, whatever you offer, Gilaway, as well as whatever austerities you may perform, do that, as son of Kunti, as an offering unto me. So all you have to do is connect with Krishna at every minute. Whatever you're doing, offer to Krishna. Of course, we have to see, is this offerable or not? But it's simply a matter of doing everything for the sake of Krishna. In other words, stop being so self-centered. You understand? Stop being self-centered. Become Krishna-centered. God-centered. Do everything for the pleasure of Krishna, O God. Don't act for your own sense pleasure. Will your senses be denied? No. They will enjoy better. As we read in the purport. They will get better enjoyment when you do it for Krishna. Just like you can get some food, nice food, and eat, and there is some instant pleasure. But if you will take that nice food and you will offer first to Krishna, you understand? And then you eat the remnants of that food you have offered to Krishna, what will be the result? You will still get the enjoyment, but it will be multiplied by millions of times. Just because all you had to do was exercise a little patience. Just like we see in the grocery store, the little child wants to immediately pop the food in the mouth. The mother has to curb him down, you see. No, my dear child, we haven't paid for it yet. You cannot pop that in your mouth. We haven't bought it yet. So, until the food is offered to Krishna, you haven't paid for it. Actually. You may say, but I took my hard-earned money, I went to the grocery store, I bought this food, so now it's mine. No. Until you've offered it to Krishna, you haven't paid for it yet. So you cannot eat until you've offered to Krishna, because you haven't paid for it. You haven't paid your due, you see. You have to first offer your food to Krishna, and then you can, by that little act of sacrifice, by that little act of restraint, of curbing down the tendency for instant sense pleasures, your happiness will expand by millions and billions of times. So this is our humble request to each and every one of you. Kindly learn this art of restraining your senses by your intelligence. Be the secondary enjoyer instead of trying to be the primary enjoyer. Because that is your natural position, to be a secondary enjoyer. If you will practice enjoying in this way, you will find your enjoyment is multiplied by thousands and millions of times. So our request is, just try to be the secondary enjoyer. Don't try to be the primary enjoyer. Thank you very much. So now I can inquire. Do any of you have any questions? So everyone is well situated now. Yes.
Yeah, thank you. Maybe not directly related to, but partly you mentioned about this, achieving this higher taste, and just one of our sannyasis who is often guiding parikramas in Vrindavan, he was mentioning in his writings that the new devotees come to holy town, is instructing that don't await something special to happen, but let it happen. The point is that don't be like too fruitive to experience something, but if you just practice, it will happen.
Yeah. It's real simple. Don't try to get pleasure. Try to give pleasure. Many people ask me, they say that, you know, I'm chanting Hare Krishna, but I'm not getting any pleasure. How can I get pleasure out of chanting? Same thing, chanting of the holy dhamma, non-different. The dhamma and the name are the same. So, I'm not getting any pleasure out of the name. What's wrong with this process of chanting Hare Krishna? I do it, but I don't get any pleasure out of it. The problem is, there's nothing wrong with the process itself. There's nothing wrong with the name. The problem is, you're trying to get pleasure out of it. Instead of going to the holy dhamma to get pleasure out of the dhamma, you want the Dham to serve you, you see. You want the name to serve you by giving you pleasure. So don't try to get pleasure out of the name. Don't try to get pleasure out of the Dham. Try to give pleasure to the name of the Dham. Serve the Dham, serve the name. Try to be the one who gives pleasure instead of the one who gets it. And then you'll have unlimited happiness. That's the key. Don't try to get pleasure out of Krishna consciousness. Try to give pleasure to Krishna. Try to give pleasure to the spiritual master. Try to give pleasure to the Vaishnava. You understand? As soon as you're in this mood of giving pleasure, then you have unlimited pleasure. That's the key. That's the real key. So it's a nice point you bring. That's actually how it works. If we try to get something out of the Dham, get something out of the name, get something out of Krishna, get something out of the Guru, Prabhupada always told us, don't make the Guru like a pet dog. That means I want the Guru to dance for me. Dance, Guru, dance, like a dog, you know. Come here, boy. Nice boy, nice Guru. I pat you on the head, now you give me what I want. Guru, you gave me this name. Now can you give me a different name? I want a different name. You give me this name now, Guru. Guru is not a name machine. Guru is where I totally surrender myself. He is Krishna's representative. I'm not to try to give pleasure to my spiritual man. That's how I will become happy myself. When I can please my spiritual master, then I become pleased. Don't try to enjoy your spiritual master. Try to become enjoyed by your spiritual master. That's the key. Any other questions or points? Yeah.
Is it possible to overcome laziness?
Yeah, laziness.
Is it possible to get over laziness?
Oh, yes. It is quite possible to get over laziness. Do you know the secret formula how to conquer laziness? Do you know the secret formula? I can tell you. Would you like to hear?
Yeah.
It's very simple. I asked this when I was a young brahmachari. I asked this question at one big gathering in New Vrindavan. There was a big famous sannyasi. He was giving lecture and I asked this question, because I knew how lazy I was. So I asked, how does one conquer laziness? And I was thinking he would say, by hard work, and that's what I didn't want to hear. You know, I absolutely didn't want to hear that because I was lazy. But I really wanted to conquer it. I just hoped that wouldn't be the answer. But I knew I had to conquer it. But he gave the most wonderful answer I've never forgotten. In two, this sannyasi was famous for giving potent, short answers, sutra-like answers. Instead of going on and on explaining this, he just gave little short sutra-like answers. He said, by love. In two words he answered it so perfectly. By love. If you think about it, that's a really profound answer, how to conquer laziness. Just like, we can see a mother who has a small child. She's working so hard, day in and day out, working. Does she feel like she's working? No. Because she loves a child like anything. That is the number one example of love and affection in this world, is the love of the mother for the small child, you see. Even though she's working hard like a beast of burden, like a donkey with a brooks on the back, she never feels she's working. It's just her loving affection for her small child. So that is a simple formula. If you can, by love, you can easily conquer laziness. You won't feel you're even working. You'll feel like you're playing, actually. So just try to find that person that you can lovingly give yourself to. That is called the spiritual master. That you can lovingly give yourself to that person. Every one of us needs a guru, you see. That's stated in the scriptures. Every one of us needs to have a guru. That means that person is just, that out of love I can give myself to this person. That's called the spiritual master. The bona fide guru is that person that we feel, he loves me so much, now I want to love him in return. So let me give myself lovingly to this person. That is called guru, spiritual master. So when you can find that person, you can give your heart to this person, then you'll find there's no question of laziness. Because you're willing to work hard for that person day in and day out without even being paid. The work itself, the service itself is the pay. That's the key, by love. So now you find that person that you can totally give yourself to in loving affection. And that is called guru. And through that service to Guru, Guru Seva, then you'll become a great transcendentalist to experience the higher taste of Krishna Bhakti at every minute. Is that alright?
Yes.
Any other questions? Alright then. So everyone's totally satisfied now? All the questions are now answered, all the obstacles are removed now in your path of bhakti. It's clear sailing all the way back home, back to Gaya. Everyone's ready now for a lifetime of full surrender and sacrifice. Everyone's ready? Totally give their lives to Krishna. Yes?
What if one don't understand English very well? Mm-hmm. Is it obstacle?
No. In any language you can become Krishna conscious. In Finnish language, Krishna is Krishna. In English language, Krishna is Krishna. In French, German, Spanish, Italian, Portuguese, Bulgarian, Romanian, and even in Macedonian, Krishna is Krishna. So what's the difficulty? There's no difficulty. Actually, Prabhupada told us in New Vrindavan, I was there in his divine presence. He said the Sanskrit language does not require any particular language to understand. It is like thunder. The transcendental sound vibration will act. See, whether you understand the language or you don't understand the language, the transcendental sound vibration will act upon your consciousness. Let's say you didn't even understand one word of English, okay? Because the speaker is giving you pure Bhagavatam, pure Gita philosophy, without any impurities. Even if you don't understand one word of it, just to sit and be able to hear that sound vibration, that purifies your consciousness. You understand? So, it is recommended that let everyone come and hear Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita. Even the little children who don't understand anything yet. Let them come, let them sit peacefully in their parents' lap and just hear the sound vibration in the room, and gradually that will awaken their Krishna consciousness. Even though they don't understand a word of it yet. The transcendental potency of the sound vibration, this is not ordinary sound vibration like the university class at the nearby campus. This is Shabda Brahma. It is Krishna manifesting in the form of Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. So, by associating Krishna directly in the form of his Bhagavad Gita philosophy and Bhagavatam philosophy, then one becomes a great transcendentalist, even if you don't understand the language. So now, it's not really an impediment. You have study. Our books are translated in Finnish, so you can study. What is the difficulty? So, any other questions? If not, we will stop here. We thank you very much for your kind attention. Radha Vidra, Srimad Bhagavad Gita Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Jai Sangha Sampradaya.